we're looking at Jonah, and the Lord is going to teach Jonah a lesson. I just love the way the Lord does things so differently for each individual that he's dealing with. I mean, he dealt differently with Jeremiah, dealt differently with Jonah, dealt differently with Isaiah, dealt differently with Ezekiel. You know, they're all the prophets. He just knew their unique personalities, their strengths and their weaknesses, the areas that they needed work on. Jonah seems to need a lot of work. So we left Jonah last week sitting under the shadow of a shelter that he had built. And he's determined to, I don't know how long he plans on sitting there until he sees something happen, I guess. Because he wants to see what will become of the city. Basically, I want to see that city destroyed. And so he built a shelter, he built a booth. He built it with his own hands. And he sat under the shadow of it. And we talked about, in the Psalms, there are two different shadows. The shadow of death and the shadow of his wings. Well, Jonah's really sitting under both, isn't he? But he's really sitting under the shadow of death, and the Lord is going to bring up that gourd and put over him the shadow of his wings. Show him another shadow that's greater. It's a sweeter shadow. So we look at verse 6. Verse 6 says, "And the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it to come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head, to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd." So you know, he's sitting in the shelter, the booth, and there's a shadow there, but it obviously is not enough. And I was really struck by the shadow over his head that the Lord creates is greater than the shadow of that shelter that he built. One he built and one the other the Lord did. One is the work of his hands and the other is the work of God's hands. So we look at this verse here, and this is the second thing that God prepares for Jonah in the book of Jonah, where it says, "And God prepared." The first thing that God prepared was a great fish. In the last chapter, he prepares three other things. He prepares this gourd, and he prepares a worm, and he prepares a wind. And so I look at this verse, and the first part of this verse I call preparation, and the Lord God prepared a gourd. The second part I call protection, and made it to come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head. There's protection. To deliver him from his grief. And the third part I call praise. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. So you have the preparation and the protection and the praise. And when you look at the protection, you have the command that God gives. He made it to come up over Jonah. And you see the covering, that it might be a shadow over his head. And you see the comfort that he received to deliver him from his grief. You know, the Lord really does quite a bit here for Jonah, doesn't he? And so the Lord God prepared a gourd. You see the person and the plan. The person is the Lord God. The plan is he prepared this gourd. And, of course, this is the self-existent one, Jehovah, but this is also God, Elohim, who is the strong one. You see God's, the God of creation and the God of the covenant. You see God revealing his strength to Jonah in a very subtle way. I think Jonah wanted to see his strength, and he understood God was strong, Lord God, God meaning strength, the strong one, and he could understand God's strength through destruction. This is a different kind of strength. This is quiet strength, subtle strength. But it's just as great a strength as it would be if he had destroyed that city. And so the Lord has this plan. He prepared this gourd. And, you know, he appointed it. He ordained it. He set it in place. God looked ahead to what Jonah needed, and he prepared it, even though Jonah didn't realize he needed it. But the Lord knew. And he ordained it and appointed it for one specific purpose, to form a covering, an additional covering over Jonah, so that he would have some shade. And he did it at the right time and in the right place. One commentator said, the Lord appoints events and experiences for his people. And he quotes Job 7:3. And Job 7:3 says, So am I made to possess months of vanity, or I am allotted months of futility and suffering, and wearisome nights are appointed to me. Job said that. All of this that I'm going through is appointed unto me. The Lord appoints those events and those experiences in Job's life. The events would be, well, the loss of his family and the loss of his possessions, and the experience would be what goes hand in hand with the loss of his health and the loss of all those other things. Those three wonderful friends that came to comfort him, and his wife who didn't really do a good job of comforting him. Everything that he experienced, the Lord appointed. And this shows you that the Lord wants us to realize that he sees everything and he knows everything and he controls everything. He's really in control. No matter how out of control things look, he is really in control. I firmly believe the Lord is using this worldwide pandemic. He has a purpose for it. He's working in the whole earth today, not just in the United States, but all over the world. Setting people in place, pieces in place, events in place, so that it's like a game of chess, so that two moves on the chessboard later on, there's a checkmate. Everything will be set in place. He's preparing people's hearts and giving them an opportunity. I think it's a wake-up call. And the thing is, the Lord God knew Jonah's heart, and I think he knew Jonah's hurt. He was hurt. And he also knew Jonah's hate, because there was a little bit of that there. So he knew his heart, and he knew his hurt, and he knew his hate. He knew that, of course, he would run initially at the beginning of his call. And he knew he would return. And he knew what it would take to get him to return. He knew how Jonah would react to the preaching, the reaction to his preaching from Nineveh. He knew he would react that way. He wasn't caught by surprise. He knew Jonah would remain. He wouldn't go home. He knew Jonah was going to sit there and wait. He knew it. He knew he would build a shelter, and he knew that he would need some shade. The Lord just knew. Jonah's still running. He just doesn't realize it. It's more obvious when he gets on a ship and runs away to go in another direction from the Lord, but here he's still running. He's running from God's will and God's word. But each time God prepared something for Jonah, prepared something here, it was specifically for Jonah. Now, I know in the first chapter, the Lord didn't say he prepared it, but it said he sent out a great wind and it created a tempest. Well, it doesn't say he prepared it. He said he sent it out. But But every time it said the Lord prepared something and ordained something, in this book, it's specifically focused on Jonah. It was prepared for him. And it was either something that he prepared to correct him, like the great fish, or something that he prepared to comfort him, like the gourd. But it was for Jonah. And I looked up gourd, and Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown said that the gourd is the castor oil plant, if you look it up. You get ricin from it, which is a poison, from the castor bean. It grows from 8 to 10 feet high. And Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown says only one leaf grows on a branch, but that leaf is often more than a foot in diameter. And all the collective leaves give good shelter from the heat. And one dictionary said a lot of people would grow these and train them. They would grow like vines. So they would train them like vines, like you would put over a trellis and you would have some shade there. And they would put it over their gardens so that they could work in their garden and be working under the shade of that, the leaves of that plant. And normally this plant will grow rapidly. And, of course, like any plant, if it's injured, it'll die. But no plant grows as rapidly as this plant grows. That's a little bit different. And the word gourd here, if you look it up in Strong's, it's the only place you find it in the whole Bible. I think that's really interesting. It's only found here in the Old Testament. But it's here for a lesson. So the first thing that you see here is the preparation of that gourd, and then you see the protection that it provides. Preparation and protection. And the Lord gives this command because it's the Lord God speaking. And it's, the command is, and he made it to come up over Jonah, or grow up over Jonah. He made it to do this. Now, the growth of this plant that you see here, which is miraculous, reveals, number one, God's power. God's power says he made it to come up. That's God's power. God's purpose is he made it to come up over Jonah. You know, he could have made it to come up anywhere, but it was in the exact spot that Jonah happened to be sitting and building his booth, and it came up and shaded the whole booth that he built. So God's power made it come up, and God's purpose said, and you come up over Jonah. God can be very specific. It grew only where Jonah was, and it grew really what I would say would be supernatural speed. And it can grow up to 6 feet, and it can grow... the dictionary says it can take about 3 months for it to grow, to reach its full maturity. And what we have here is he made it come up over Jonah, and it came up, and it was full grown, and it provided shade. Didn't take 3 months to do it. Jonah needed it then. You know, he went out, and he may have went out early in the morning and built that shelter, and it started to get hot. And bam, the gourd comes up and shades him. And he spends all day under the shade of that gourd and goes to sleep that night. The next morning, it's gone. But when it came up because he needed it. And it provided a covering for him. The specific purpose was that it might be a shadow over his head. It might be a shade. You know, shadow comes from a word that just means something that hovers over you. It means a hovering over you. I like that. It's just kind of hovers over you. And a shadow is just shade. Or another definition for shadow would that sometimes is translated in the Bible is defense. It can be a defense. Well, it was a defense from the sun. And it came up over his head. And, you know, when you're out in the sun and the heat, your head is the most, even in the cold, your head is really the most vulnerable part of you. If it's bitter cold and you put a hat on your head, you don't have that heat loss and you're warmer. And if you put a hat on your head in the summer, then that and it shades you, then it protects your head from the heat. Your head is really important. I like to look at this head as a picture of Jonah's mind, because the Lord is putting a shadow over him, and that shadow, I think, represents something that would speak to him. And I think that shadow can picture God's promises and God's provisions. And, you know, that would speak to Jonah, and it should. The Lord's being very subtle here. He's not being saying anything verbally, but he's saying a lot here. And that shadow, I think, would be a reminder to Jonah of, to his mind, of God's promises and God's provisions. Well, actually, you know, the moment that shadow came up and shaded him, that plant came up and shaded him, he would be reminded of all those wonderful attributes of God that he griped about in verse 2. All of those things that he thought were great about the Lord concerning him personally, but not anybody else, or unless it was God's people. That's really what that shadow is. It's just all these wonderful traits, the Lord's mercy and his loving kindness, and, you know, the fact that he's slow to anger and so forth. I also thought about what the Apostle Paul said. He says two things in Hebrews concerning a shadow. He says in Hebrews 8:5 that there is a shadow of heavenly things. So I guess you could say this is a shadow of heavenly things. It's a shadow of what God will do for his people in the midst of tribulation. When they go through tribulation, there will be a preservation and a protection that they will experience that are based upon the promises and the provisions of God, the Word of God. And Hebrews 10:1, the Apostle Paul says, there's a shadow of good things to come. Well, there, this shadow points forward to the Lord Jesus Christ and the protection and the covering that he gives after tribulation. That shadow is a picture of God's grace. It's felt, it's something that you can feel, but you can't reach out and touch. It's a shadow. But the shadow comes from a substance, and it's a shadow of God's grace. Throughout this book and everything that Jonah has gone through, the Lord keeps reminding him of his grace and how gracious he is. And of course, all those shadows we know are found in Christ and fulfilled in Christ. One commentator said this, I thought it was really interesting. His name is Barnes. And he said that this is kind of a looking forward in time to the fact that God's people will, and of course Jonah prophesied to the 10 tribes. And the 10 tribes are going to go into captivity first, and then the 2 tribes are going to be going to captivity, and the temple's going to be destroyed. So he said, this is really a picture of how that God's people, having lost the temple at Jerusalem and the priesthood and the sacrifice, all of which was a shadow of that which was to come, and their in captivity and they're dispersed, and in a sense they're being scorched by the vehement heat of tribulation. Tribulation in the captivity to Nineveh, tribulation in the captivity to Babylon, tribulation in the captivity to Rome, and tribulation in the last days. The vehement heat that's scorching them is tribulation, just as Jonah is scorched by the heat of the sun. And he's really grieving over that suffering that he's going through. And yet, the Lord brings up a shadow and a covering over his people, and they are not utterly destroyed. They are preserved. Isn't that wonderful how he takes care of them that way? So this shadow of the gourd, and this is what really spoke to my heart, is greater than the shadow of his shelter. The shadow of his shelter is the work of his hands, and the shadow of the gourd is the work of God's hands, and it's greater. So what the Lord provides is greater than what man can ever provide. And there's another lesson there for Jonah. You've built a shelter, but it's not enough. So you see here the covering, and then you see the comfort that he gets from the covering. The whole purpose is to deliver him from his grief. To deliver him. Deliver, usually we look at it, it can either mean to defend somebody or to save somebody. As you defend them. But the other meanings for deliver also can mean to recover that which is needs to be recovered, or to rescue that which needs to be rescued. And in a sense, the Lord is defending Jonah and saving him from the heat, but behind this is this, I want to recover him and rescue him because he's going in the wrong direction. He's hurting himself. I need to help him here. Deliver him from his grief. Now, grief there is misery or unhappiness or distress. He probably was feeling all of those things. When you're not in God's will, or you're running from God's will or his word, you're going to be miserable because you're struggling against something that you just can't resist. And so he was miserable and he was unhappy, and actually he could have been in very physical distress because he probably built his shelter first thing in the morning when he left the city, and he's been sitting there for a while and it's, you know, trees around him and it's hot, and it's, I don't know what time of the year it was, but it was hot. Even before the east, vehement east wind came, it was hot. And so he was in distress, physical distress, and he was in emotional distress. In other words, Jonah was a mess. He was a mess. And the Lord comforted him. In a sense, the Lord wants to save Jonah from himself. And it's not about taking away the danger. It's about showing him the danger. You know, he doesn't take away the heat or take away the danger of the sun. Because what he's going to do is, when he withdraws the covering, he's going to show him what there's greater danger there. And a lot of times when the Lord saves us from ourselves, he'll show us what the danger is. It's still there, but he'll show us and then ask us, okay, what do you want to do? Do you want to still sit here? Now the danger here, the real danger here, besides the sun, is Jonah's attitude, because I think it's very self-destructive. He puts himself in a dangerous place. He probably knew it wasn't really a wise thing to do what he was doing. He's sitting in a shelter out in the open, and he knows probably it's not going to be sufficient, but by golly, I'm going to sit here, and I'm going to sit here until I see something happen, and I don't care how much I have to suffer or how sick I get from the heat, I'm not moving.
He was mildly stubborn.
In a sense, remember, Jonah's attitude was, kill me, Lord, I don't want to live. So he, in a sense, this is self-destructive. Well, you know, I want to die, and I might as well die this way. It's kind of self-destructive, isn't it? And so God wants to recover and rescue Jonah from this attitude. Save him from himself. in a sense, he's lost his purpose and he's lost his way. And the Lord really wants to recover him. And he does it first by saving him from that discomfort and that physical suffering that he brought on himself. And he provides this wonderful provision of the gourd. He wants him to continue to minister as his prophet, but he needs a change of heart and a change of attitude before he can do that. So the Lord will first show grace, and then he'll withdraw it to teach Jonah basically the value of what grace is. So he'll want that wonderful shade is a wonderful picture of his grace, and he'll withdraw it, and Jonah's going to miss it. He's going to really see the value of it. But as soon as that gourd comes up, and I don't know what Jonah thought, sitting there and all of a sudden, bam, this gourd pops up and leaves start. It's like when you watch on the television and they do that photography where it's time-lapse photography and you see a plant shooting up out of the ground and the leaves opening up and the buds coming and the flowers blooming. You never really see that because it happens so slowly. But when it's time-lapse photography, it's pretty amazing to see that. And that's basically, I think, what happened when that gourd came up out of the ground. That seed, it came from a seed. That seed happened to be in right that spot right there. The Lord didn't move it around. It's just that when Jonah plopped his self down on the ground and built that shelter, he just happened to do it right where that seed is. Well, he didn't happen to, but the Lord ordained more than one thing.
Yeah.
He probably moved Jonah to sit down right there because he had that seed right there. But Jonah does express gratitude because you have this praise. So Jonah was exceeding glad for the gourd. He wasn't just glad, he was exceeding glad. One of the ways that can be rendered is he rejoiced with great joy. I mean, he must have been feeling pretty bad, and then that gourd just came up and he really felt joy. And you know, there was great joy because there was great relief. And there was great relief because there was great discomfort. I think that's why it was so great, because he was feeling pretty bad. The measure of his discomfort and suffering matches the joy because it's been alleviated. And it really shows how miserable Jonah probably was. He was hot and he was suffering. What he didn't see was he brought it on himself. It was kind of self-inflicted. He still didn't see that. You know, God did not go and tell Jonah to go and sit there and go and wait. He didn't tell him to do that. Jonah chose to do that. And there are consequences to that choice that he made. And sometimes we choose to do something and there are consequences to choices that we make, and there are results from those consequences. The Lord didn't force us to do that or make that decision. We choose to do that. And Jonah was miserable and suffering, but it was because he made himself miserable and suffering. So you look at the gourd that he brought up, because that's what he's thankful for. His gratitude is he was exceedingly glad, and he was exceedingly glad for the gourd. The protection of that plant is another rendering for it, the protection that it provided. And that gourd is a lesson for Jonah. It's a lesson in grace. It's provided, and it's interesting, it's provided not because Jonah prayed and said, Lord, I built this shelter and this booth, and it's not sufficient, and it is hot, and I am suffering here. Could you please help me out here? You know, he doesn't pray. It doesn't come because he prayed, because of his prayer. It comes because of Jonah's need. It's provided because of his need. That's grace. And you have to ask yourself, did Jonah see the miracle in the plant, in the growth, and in the shade that he provided? He's thankful for the shade, but did he see the miracle in it? Did he acknowledge the one who provided the gourd? Did he think, maybe because God provided this gourd, I'm in God's will, and, you know, I ought to be here sitting and waiting for the destruction of this city. You know, he could have come up with a lot of different things that he would have said. The thing is, he acknowledged the gourd, but did he acknowledge God? It just says he was exceedingly glad for what?
The gourd.
Where was God in this? I don't really see that he was exceedingly glad because God had provided the gourd. He was just glad for the gourd. But that's grace. And it made me think of, remember in the New Testament when Jesus talked about offering protection to the city of Jerusalem? Remember in Matthew 23 when Jesus was looking out over the city of Jerusalem and he knew that that city was going to be destroyed. And how does he say that? Matthew 23:37, I think. Let me go there and read that. We find that he says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often, and here's that provision of shade that Jesus would provide, or protection. How often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and you would not. You know, that's a wonderful picture of Jesus would have gathered them under his wings and provided that defense and that protection. But they refused his grace. And when they refused his grace, because they would not, then Jerusalem was destroyed. Now, Jonah accepts the protection, but unless he accepts the grace that is behind the protection, it won't remain. So, does it remain? No, it's gone. Well, I think it's gone because he doesn't accept the grace behind the protection. He doesn't yet see the grace. And the Lord took it away. You got to see the grace and receive it. So the next thing we'll look at next week will be the next two things that the Lord prepares to further teach Jonah a lesson in grace.